The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Does it get you all like warm in the armpits?
Yeah. I'm ready to spray my starfish all over the city.
Nothing hotter than thinking about murdering your mom.
All right. So there's a lot of porn content right there. Why is that not a thing? Why is there not like something where you're spraying out of your armpits on your mom? Why is that not a thing?
You say there isn't, but that just means that you haven't chosen the right search terms.
I haven't dug deep enough into the dark web.
I guarantee there's like there's mom licking like armpits or something. There's got to be.
Oh, God.
Someone has already drawn the mom from Suicide Squad, definitely like having sex with a Disney character. You know it's a real thing that's already been done.
And, you know... The new Suicide Squad movie.
So, oh, by the way, spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah,
spoilers. And before we even get into spoilers, we got to talk about who's on this panel. This is we got a solid panel tonight. We've got back again, Mike Reiser.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Reiser's back.
Tell your friends.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? And that's superhero related, so that works.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
This, the whole video.
Because he wore a cape once?
No, the whole video, he's wearing like a cape and a mask.
Yeah.
So, Jesus Christ. And the guy who doesn't know his hip-hop, especially his white 2000s hip-hop, Mike Dabba-Bickett.
No, I don't know my fucking, my white hip-hop. I listen to fucking Del the Funky Homo Sapien and Tribe Called Quest. I don't listen to fucking Eminem.
I said 2000s. Tribe Called Quest was doing shit in the early 2000s.
Okay, fair.
Yeah,
but...
exactly, motherfucker. Don't talk to me about hip-hop, bitch. That's racist.
But you know what happened around the 2000s was the next fucking episode. Which one of those do you think I was paying attention to?
The turnaround to the next episode.
Nate Dogg, like, hey. That's what I was paying fucking attention to.
Yeah. You mean you didn't have Bubba Sparks playing in your 2000s era?
Oh, God.
No, I did not.
What about Everlast?
Hold on.
Everlast? No, you know what? You fuck around.
Everlast was badass.
First off, Everlast was fucking rad, and also House of Pain was fucking rad too.
People don't give House of Pain the fucking credit.
Jump Around is a solid hit.
No. We could go more into hardcore with fucking Just Another Victim with Helmet in the late 90s.
Yeah,
and before you went all whitey with
one day in the early 90s, somebody said, "What if Irish people had a hip hop band?" And then fucking House of Pain was born because that's a thing the world needed.
Yep.
I mean, I'm glad that it was in my childhood. I'm just saying. I everyone likes to jump around, but like I personally love his like minute and a half flow in Just Another Victim. I thought that was some of the hardest shit he'd ever rapped.
The thing that always bothered me in the early 90s is that I literally met people that were like, this is pre-Eminem, where suddenly white people were like, oh, hip-hop's approachable.
Pre-Eminem, but post-Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. But Vanilla Ice was a fucking joke for everybody. House of Pain actually had some fucking skills. So all these fucking white dudes being like, oh, actually, hip-hop's pretty good. I love House of Pain. Is it literally because it's the only Irish hip-hop band that's ever existed on the face of the earth? Is that it? Do you like Ice-T? Never really liked Ice-T. Do you like Dre? No, not big on Dre. So literally it's just that they're Irish rappers. That's...
I would say I agree with you if he just stopped with Ice-T because he was like a song by song kind of hip hop artist.
Please understand, I have nothing but like fucking full respect and adoration for T. But T didn't rap. He told. he didn't like rap. He just yelled things at you.
Yeah, he's also arguably a metal act and not rap at all.
Reiser was like, that's why I'm like, no, Reiser, bring it. Because like, so in his original releases, what was the first one? Six in the morning? was his first big single. That's what he like did at all the clubs. He did it in the vein of the traditional rap at that time.
Oh, that old school
flow.
Yep.
And he it's not like he didn't sound different from everybody else. He did. He had his, even though he flowed the same way, his delivery was enough to make it different. But as he moves on,
his cadence was very specific.
There you go. Cadence. Thank you. I can't. Yeah. I'm like, no, his cadence was definitely specific to him. But I think really where he started to shine in the, especially, you know, in the 90s when this started, was fucking Body Count. But at a certain time, I could see why people had a trouble taking it seriously, because at that time, with that level of aggressive music, I mean, these guys that he got in the band were like legit, like Slayer fans, legit, like extreme metal fans. So you get this extreme metal music, and then you get Ice-T's voice over it, which, let's face it, isn't uber aggressive.
Yeah.
In comparison. So
it's matter of fact.
Exactly.
What I love around this time that Body Count is happening is that you've got Bad Brains is already a known element in the West.
More aggressive voice, by the way.
Yeah. Way more aggressive voice. But you already have all black punk rock happening. And
what's the other band? Brains? No. Three piece.
Death. You're talking about Death. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
those guys were hard as fuck.
Hard as fuck. But then also you have like that Charlie fucking Manson, called hip hop the black punk rock. So it,
accurate though.
And no, that's super fucking
super
accurate.
Yeah, that's not wrong.
That's the thing, is like, it's so fucking accurate
because that's what it was. If you listen to like hip hop of that era, Run DMC, fucking Public Enemy, and compare it to lyrics from a punk band of that same, the literally lateral same time frame. They're talking about the same thing.
You look at Ice-T and where he was growing up, what he was doing, and what was happening in that town at that time. Which in
his
was
immediate environment,
LA.
He
was dealing with a lot of disenfranchised people that were finally speaking up for the first time to speak against how much they were being fucked up by the overzealous LA police.
Yes.
And that was punk rock, and that was fucking hip hop.
Yep.
And so him being on both sides of that, that's so supremely fair. The number of times that there were probably hip hoppers and fucking punk rockers fighting cops arm in arm together, and I want that movie. I want that fucking movie.
Can we see that unity? Like, that's unity. Can
that's
we see that
fucking unity? Yes.
Can we see that, please?
It's not about fucking style. It's not about different like choices musically. It's about your genre being about fighting against the oppressive force, and hip hop and punk rock have always been line in line with that.
100% agree. I just had a really good idea. Can we just have a movie with that unity between those two? And at the time when this happened in American history, were quote unquote opposing forces, but not because it's something that you're taught, something that they were taught to be, not realizing that if they listened and either side had conversation, they realized they were the same of two, they were a different side of the same coin. But could we have that film where that happens and they both go just beat the shit out of some fucking Nazi punks? Could we get that, please?
You could literally just be like, hey, Ice-T, do you remember a time where a hip hop show let out the same time as a punk rock show near each other, and then the cops showed up and tried to beat the shit out of both of you? And he'd be like, "Yeah, back in 1983, this is a thing that happened."
That's terrible.
And then,
how much SVU do you actually watch?
I know, right? Get his voice right. Fuck.
But all you would need is Ice-T to just like tell you a story about one of the multitudes of nights that the punks and the fucking hip hoppers showed up at the same time and the cops beat the fuck out of them both. And then you use that as an opportunity to create a fucking story.
Agreed. And
talk about a great conversation about, it's not about class or subgenre. It's about the disenfranchised. It's about people that are deemed not important by...
It goes past the musical status of whatever genre apparently you're creating music in. It goes down to the societal aspect of like both parties being treated the same,
and,
right?
And, that's really what. Sure, there's way more conversation about like race and all that that comes into that.
Oh, parlance. Yeah, there is.
Why, like, I could never write that fucking story, but. But there's somebody out there that has maybe the access, the conversation to be able to make that story sing.
Yes.
Sing.
It should be pointed out that Spike Lee came close in his mess of a movie, Summer of Sam, when he focuses on the punk rock subplot.
Oh, yeah, when he said that the Who was the godfather of punk. Sit down.
So he got some of the details wrong, but there is actually
a conversation about that amongst the punk rock community,
No, I understand that is part of the conversation when it comes to punk, but they were way more of a conversation with the Teddies and the fucking Mods than they were ever about punk rock.
True. And that goes into the conversation that people don't understand the difference with the Mods.
No, it's just,
you know, I'm serious. Yeah. People don't understand.
It was
all the
sad, weird British kids.
Yes. Yes. They were pre emo.
Yeah.
They were like pre emo. Like, hey, the Smiths, yeah, they were Mods. Like, I mean, let's be real. Like, if we're going back to that, like, at least that's my interpretation of that musical history.
Riots on the streets of my heart.
But I would say that, I really do want to see that story told of the unity because of a realization of the same. Like, again, whole different conversation within when we get into some of the class structure and that. But as far as like leaving shows that are just all about against the fucking oppression, like that unity, like you've got to find that common ground, right? I feel like seeing a film that they find the common ground and then they also like, I don't necessarily want to see them like go after the authority, like the police force. I want to I want to see them go against something else that's in that same genre that oppresses as well. And that's why I said the fucking skinhead Nazi punk motherfuckers that were oppressing inside their own clique.
See, I disagree entirely, because what that suggests is that the challenge is within the movement. And the more important conversation is the fact that there is something that creates these genres. There's a reason why the hip-hop community in the late 70s, early 80s in L.A. was so important. It's because the amount of incredibly fucked up shit that was happening, there was not a voice for it. And then suddenly there was.
Mm-hmm.
And across the world, people that were disenfranchised leached onto that, because even though they didn't necessarily have the exact same circumstances, they had a similar circumstance to a point where they knew fuck the police. And the same way with punk rock, where it's not the same circumstance. I'm not trying to pretend that like the fucking hip hop background and the punk rock background are the same, but it comes down to being disenfranchised, shut down, and not paid attention to, destroyed by the fascist powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the DNA is absolutely shared. You're right. There is a clear, similar visual between like mining strikers getting beaten in Northern England in the 70s, inspiring all those punk bands,
absolutely.
And the sight of a car in the hood in LA with all the occupants face down while the LAPD takes their shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And agreed. And I completely understand what you're saying. Like, there is a huge difference in coming in and basically when cops or society look at an individual and they use color of their skin as a basis for a judgment on the individual, where like, oh, okay. And for what, and for instance, what we're talking about, this is, in, you know, for being in context. All right. So we've got a group of black kids who were, you know, this and that. All right. Well, we're going to wash them off because they're black teenagers versus in the same context, as far as talking about the punk movement, we have a bunch of angry white kids. We just wash them off, not based off the color of their skin. We wash them off saying, oh, they're a lost cause. See, now both are being washed off, but there's a huge fucking difference between washed off as looking at them as just being lost causes versus looking at them and automatically being lost causes because their fucking skin's different. There's a huge fucking difference and a huge conversation there.
I agree. If you've not had the chance to see a documentary called Another State of Mind, it's a tour diary of Social Distortion on Tour, And one of their friends that's on tour with them is a black punk rocker.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how much he's been like beat up and fucked up for just being a black guy. And he's like, so why would I think any different about being punk? Like, I'm not going to get beat up anymore. I'm just like now a black guy with blue hair.
And he's a black dude that now has a family.
Yeah.
Where he, I'm assuming yeah. he didn't feel like he didn't have that family and that unity before.
Yeah,
he has community. Exactly.
And
everybody needs a fucking home, man.
You make that movie where it's like the early 80s hip hop meets punk rock conversation. All you need in that to really find the cohesion is that conversation is that like you chose to dye your hair blue. I never chose to dye my skin this color. Like
that's the biggest thing. And it really is.
And if you have that one moment, that one singular moment in that conversation, that informs the entire movie. And then you're good. Then you're fucking good. Then you can talk about that it's about the disregarded bastions of society, the bastions that that the authority considers challenging or a problem. And
part of the reason, and I swear there's stats to prove this, everyone, all you gotta do is like Google it. And I hate saying that because I really do. I really do hate saying that. Dig for your own information, but there is all this data and there's numbers out there showing that you see the difference in where somebody who is being judged based off of that versus being based off actual deeds. Like there's like, why'd you stop them or why'd you pull them over? Or why'd you pull this person aside? You get like the suspicious character versus like actual acts, and you see the difference. You see the number.
I will actually speak to. I recently went to a wedding in Tennessee, and very much my opinion of the world was very different than a number of the people that were there.
I'm very sure.
I will say I still had a great time, and honestly, it made me kind of like take a knee a little bit as far as my. Disrespect to the why people think the way they do. Like it gave me a pause to think better about how people,
as it should, because it's experience. Yeah. People don't take experience into account. Every experience you have, you should hopefully take something from that.
That was incredibly important. And I feel like that alone was worth the visit to really understand that there's nobody that is the mustache twirling villain. There's a lot of people that have, whether it be bad information or a cultural connection, or there's a number of different reasons why people believe what they believe. But in a conversation with somebody who was a paramedic, I started bringing up the idea of defunding the police without using that terminology. And I brought it up as that wouldn't it be great if mental health became more of a conversation and there were people like just like the paramedics and just like the police that was mental health specific for people that were having a mental health breakdown and they handled it. So it took all the energy off of the
defunding the
paramedics
police.
Yeah. And the police that literally that's your go and the police and the
and that's not part of their training. That's not really part of their training.
That's somebody, a paramedic that was there was like, that's not part of their, they're 6 weeks and they're out. They don't know how to deal with this and was like defending the police for all the shit that was happening. And I was like, correct. So why don't we create like another group that's just mental health focused that does that? And he's like, yes, God, I would love that. And I went in more about talking about all the major points of defunding the police without actually saying defunding the police. And he's like, fucking fire, on board, so on board. He's so fucking on board. He's like super into it. And then by the end of the conversation, I didn't have a fucking psych moment or anything. I wasn't trying to get him or anything, but what that conversation proved to me is that he was mad about the term defunding the police, but not the action that comes from that. I think at the end of the day, a lot of us want the same things, but we get caught up on the terminology. We get caught up on...
Oh, yeah, especially over the last 4 years,
on what side or what thing happens. And at the end of the day, we just want people to be safe and okay. And if we find a way to ignore the terms, the fucking usage, the stuff, we're going to find out that we're a lot closer to each other than we think we are.
And you actually brought up a good point with that, too. You know, yes, I mean, obviously, I think everyone does want the same thing, regardless of where your stance is. You know, I feel like two people could be screaming at each other, but they actually want the same thing.
Yeah.
The terminology does come into play. And that's why, like, I've really only learned this over the last year because of more of a self-awareness and wanting to, I'm more careful about how I say the thing because I'm more focused on getting the point across, not with how I say getting the point across.
Sure.
Because you can say anything like a dick. Everybody can say anything. You can say your point like a dick. Everybody can do that. But saying it...
Low down, we've been doing this for 6.5
years.
I
could be a giant dick.
mostly.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. I just gave 2 thumbs up, guys. Yeah, those who can't see this. But but seriously, though, there's always a way to say it where it's all about getting the point across without any of the vinegar behind it.
And that's the thing is that I felt instead of trying to like gotcha moment with the person, we talked at length about like actual avenues that we could better society. And that's more important to me than...
This should be more important to every American right now, but it's not. Like,
yep, you just agreed to fucking defunding the police. Fuck off.
No.
I don't give a shit.
All I got found from that. Common ground on an idea, and that's the important thing for reaching consensus that brings about actual change.
Because consensus should be the main goal. A consensus amongst American citizens. Because consensus means that everyone agrees on what they have to what they're compromising for the greater good. I've always agreed with consensus. Having a consensus, is that middle ground that we like we talked about earlier when we were talking about Obama's first administration, like which that ultimately led to his second term being trash, was that he thought he'd go in getting consensus and he didn't get that, and then it was after that it was like a battle between the two.
Well,
and it was terrible.
That was the tail end of our entire fucking democracy turning into this weird like you're not part of my club, then I'm not gonna vote
really where that happened. And but I agree with what you were doing, Hobbit, where it was more like, look, I agree with the conversation of maybe creating something else with our tax money to take something off of people who aren't properly trained. That's not defunding the police. That's creating a healthy way to deal with something.
That's why I hate the term,
cops aren't trained for.
I hate the term defunding because what it sounds like is that, like, let's end police. No, that
is
not.
People, and some people fall. Some people followed with that.
Sure.
Take
and
fucking, like,
you know what?
Get rid of them. Like,
the former anarchist in my heart is like, ugh. But no, there needs to be some level of
law enforcement at some point.
Enforcement on people I don't know.
Actually fucking shit up.
Trying to murder people.
Like, trying to rape people. Trying to murder people. Trying to steal your fucking car. Trying to, people that are actually doing bad shit to their fellow citizen. That's what law is for.
But
it shouldn't be for the good law-abiding citizen to be judged. It's about destroying the motherfucker who's fucking up our society by doing bad shit.
But a person sped 12 miles over the speed limit.
No, fuck that.
Maybe that's not the time to unbuckle your fucking gun.
How about you do what DC did, install the cameras, you take a picture, you get a ticket in the fucking mail. There's no fucking enforcement individual that could potentially go wrong, and we get Rodney King.
Let's actually get somebody that was a police officer.
Oh, well, I was just going to be flip and tell you, I think that jail for speeding should depend on what you're driving. If you're out there in an Audi or a BMW M5, you should absolutely go to jail for 10 miles an hour.
I'm actually super on board with that.
Because you're saying they should be going 20? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you might as well push it to the limit.
I knew it.
But yeah, no, we absolutely do ask too much of our law enforcement just because it is the cheapest cost avoider out there.
Yeah.
All of this is going to cost a lot, and that I think is the real stumbling block where we fall. Because once we had a solution to mental health, it was a brutal and unpleasant one, and it involved warehousing. And I think now we want to find a way to solve an intractable problem, and it's going to be challenging, but ultimately worth spending on.
But also not the job of the fucking cops.
It shouldn't be.
It totally shouldn't be.
Yeah. And
if you love the cops, then maybe take something off of their table that they aren't fucking responsible for.
Yeah, I mean, like starting, base salary going for a police officer is roughly around 35, 40 grand. Now, I mean, that's, you know, a solid wage, but also you're like, that's a lot of responsibility. When you add on someone's mental, like, because...
I don't think you should be making 40 grand and you have the responsibility of another person's life in your hands.
Truth.
Period. Hands down.
That goes police, fire, EMS... those crucial fucking community saving jobs.
Yeah, EMS is criminally underpaid.
Dude, it's terrible. I've never been for like defunding the police. I believe we need a law enforcement. I don't believe in complete, because there are so many, and it sucks to have to admit this over and over again, but there are just bad fucking people that actually don't give a shit about their fellow citizen. And I can't stand that.
Besides the politicians that we're talking about, there are the neighbor
who's right down the street from you wouldn't piss on you if you were on fucking fire, and that sucks.
I think the problem that everybody's running into right now, especially with social media, just like patting you on the back for having a hard answer on something, is that there isn't a correct answer here.
No.
There isn't a way that we can live in a society without a police force. There isn't a way that we can live in a society where a police force is 100% not corrupt.
Exactly.
You got to find the best version of all of those things, but that requires a lot of working together and a lot of compromise, and it really sucks that nobody's going to get their way. But that's kind of the entire intent of
the intent of compromise is no one gets their entire way, dude. That's the whole principle.
Our whole country is that nobody gets their way, and the reason why we're having so much fucking issue right now is that there's been bastions of our country that have been getting their way for the most part for decades,
and now like this spoiled child who's not
fucking death that like I get mostly my way but not entirely my way. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I love that there's a bigger conversation about that everybody gets to be involved in the sandbox now. Everybody has an equal say. Everybody's able to.
Well, we're getting there. It's still not there, but we're great strides.
Yeah.
Great strides. It's getting there. And that's really all you can hope for, right?
Yeah.
You just can't allow it. And I say allow. You cannot allow it to regress.
That's actually a very rare moment in GY that we talk politics, because we don't, on a regular basis.
I think we're talking more social.
We're talking more about people.
But I
think part of that is that, you know, it's not a matter. Like, we talk about geek shit.
Punk rock and hip hop and all the shit we talked about is directly related to society.
Sure.
And so I feel like this is right in line with all that, right?
Well, and we talk about social issues in alignment with what we're talking about, but that's the thing, is that if you talk about, like, especially genre stuff, you're talking about sci-fi or horror.
And if somebody that really looks into it...
There's so much... Like, one of my biggest is George Romero, and there's not a single thing that he did that didn't have a social commentary attached
to it.
So
100%.
Even Suicide Squad, with its ridiculous silliness at the end of the day, did have a message.
Exactly. Yeah. And you want to go back to Romero. Who else was doing a fucking black lead in the 60s, bro?
Yeah.
Who else was doing that, man? Romero's like, fuck you. He's a great actor. He's got aggression. He's got leader. Putting him in the fucking front. Yeah. Like, I mean, dude, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't argue this shit. Right,
like, so the thing is that people are like, you're supercharging your material with social justice shit. Go fuck yourself. This has been a thing the entire time. If you're gonna get mad about the fact that there's like social underpinnings to a genre film
that has been there for decades,
literally since decades, genre has been a thing that has been discussed in film.
Yeah.
So your point is that you're a sad, angry weirdo that is trying to push your opinion on other people that don't actually give a shit about you.
And
that's why I love that James Gunn had no patience for it, to the point where he was just like, no, fuck it, I don't give a shit about any of this. Like, yeah, superhero films are kind of boring now. I'm really stoked about how they gave me a lot of, like, he's just trying to make a movie. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's gone through the ringer on social media, and he gives no fucks
Twitter
anymore at
fucked
all.
Him, dude.
At all.
God, he Twitter fucked no him fucks. Hard. And it's terrible because everyone that's followed James Gunn knew what he was about early on.
Yeah.
And the fact that those came back to bite them in the ass, I mean, at least everyone I know, Hobbit.
Yeah.
Riser,
yep.
That new James Gunn back then was like, oh no, that tracks. And you're like, now moving forward, you're like, oh, that's fucking. I'm like, how is that fucking? Have you looked at his Wikipedia page? Do you know what the motherfucker did before?
Well, did you not see Slither?
Right. I mean, shit.
No, the thing with James Gunn is actually something that has been a challenge with, in this podcast, but also like my friends just in general is that.
Really?
No, like, look at the things that he said 10 years ago.
On
Twitter. That he's like, I'm gonna fuck children or whatever. Like, all the fucked up, like, edgelordy kind of things that he said.
The trauma shit that he said.
I can't
dark humor.
I can't say with any confidence that I haven't said anything as bad as that. Like,
you have.
And friends as well.
I have.
But as the culture has shifted, I've learned to adapt to understanding that that's not. And it's not even that I'm being mindful of the of people that are hypersensitive or anything. It's literally looking at, oh, I got away with this for decades. Being able to make, like, fucking dead baby jokes or whatever the fuck for so long, it was a realization like, oh, these were always not okay. It's that finally people are calling attention to the fact that they're not okay. Is that we got away with it for a while.
Yeah.
And finally, like, society is like, yeah, it's never been okay to joke. But, like, somebody that hears that literally, like, lost a child might, like, be really fucking upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
You make a gay joke, you make a black joke. There's somebody that's going to hear that's going to be like, oh, you're a monster. So suddenly society is so singular because of social media. Everyone's paying attention to one another now. So those jokes don't play anymore. And that's what James Gunn ran into, where he was making jokes for his specific trauma audience.
10 years prior to when he got caught for it.
And he had grown as a person, where he even said, it's like, no, I wouldn't do those jokes now.
Yeah, and as something of a Twitter historian, it's been fascinating to watch the evolution in that bizarre platform. I was there from day one, and it was weird in its day. People were doing unusual bits. It was a place for dark humor, edgelord stuff, as you mentioned.
Yep.
A lot of it was cringy, and all of a sudden it switched.
Yeah.
But no, but agreed. Like, you know, he got ostracized for something that happened so long ago, and he got ostracized without even the fact that he grew as an individual or as a creator. And that's really what's fucked up, is as a society, we still can't ostracize people. We can hold people accountable 100%. But if it was something that happened 10 years ago, we can't ostracize them today. We can have a conversation about it. But if you can't, if you're telling me you can't look at James Gunn specifically and say that stopped so long ago because he grew as a person and as a writer and a director, you can't fucking damn him and cut him and, like, cancel him for that shit now. That's not how that works. If he was still doing the same shit, yeah, different story. If he's not, okay, he learned. He grew.
But that's kind of the nature of the beast, is that it wasn't actually the quote-unquote social justice warriors that canceled Gunn. It was alt-writers that hated his attitudes towards Trump and all the other shit that found old tweets and then sensationalized it. And,
backdoor shit.
Yeah, they tried to use the social justice attitude to try to cancel Gunn. It's only because of how Gunn responded to it and his ability to work with Disney to back away for a little bit that made him save his fucking career.
Yeah, it was absolutely a weaponized trolling coordinated effort from some of the uglier corners of the internet.
Yeah. I feel like social media is just the end of our existence. It needs to go
does speak to is that, like, you need to give everyone I don't care what level of celebrity, I don't want to put some,
like,
a chance to not apologize, because there's so many hollow apologies that happen, like, fuck that, and I'm not ready for that either. Mm-hmm. But, like, you need to give people a chance to
redemption.
Grow as a person,
or
where something from 10 years ago, you don't use that as a reason to cancel them now. Unless it's, I mean, if it's like rape or assault or something, yeah. Like, okay,
that's cool. Just horrible shit.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I think I think I know what you're saying. Like, I mean, I feel like there is a place, depending, as you just said, there is a place for a redemption story. And I feel like a lot of things now with social media eliminates even the possibility of a redemption.
No, I think the loudest voices want you to believe that that's what it is. And I'm talking about both sides. Mm-hmm. You've got the loudest people screaming from both sides of the conversation. And in the middle of it are people that literally just want people to be able to have a chance to say, fuck, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I'm sorry. That sucks. I'm going to be thinking about that in the future and grow with it. And that is 99% of the conversation or the crowd that is,
I think, down, it's 90% of the individuals want that.
And then you've got people on the hard left and right of things that are trying their best to muffle that opinion by being the loudest. When at the end of the day, like, yeah, I'm... Hey. New things with Joss Whedon. I'm not really entirely stoked with that.
Not happy about it.
There's definitely a line somewhere, but when it comes to, you know, I don't know, like a celebrity being like, I didn't really like this co-star, and they're like, oh, trying to cancel this co-star. No, they're not.
No.
They literally just made an offhand comment, calm the fuck down. The 99 percentile knows that, and it's these two sides fighting each other, and everybody else is in between.
But, and they're screaming. And
yeah.
I'll end this on, we'll end nights on this note. This is something that I don't feel like anyone ever told me this. I just said it to somebody once because they were like vehemently like yelling at me.
Yeah.
And that's always, I want to say that's a trigger for me. You yell at me, there's like a,
no,
like younger me would have tried to pound your fucking face into a wall. Older me is like, you need to fucking stop.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were just yelling at me. And at the end of it, I said that, I was like, look, I see you're upset. I don't mind talking about it with you. But I'm going to tell you, the louder your volume doesn't add any weight to what you're saying.
Yep.
And on that, I'm going to say good night, sleep tight, go the fuck home.
GUIPodcast.com.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIPodcast.com.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.